Welcome to this online healing retreat. Our program starts shortly. First, create your sacred space and listen to this music from the universe, literally created by the universe as mathematical equations were assigned to musical notes. The result is this beautiful music, available at AcousticHealth.com. Our program starts shortly. Welcome. This is session 3 of our online healing retreat, Spiritual Tools, Techniques of the Great Ancestors. Let's jump right into it. We're welcoming back Miriam Delicato. Hi, Miriam.
Hi, Loren. Thank you again for this wonderful opportunity on your program to share some insights and knowledge and techniques that I've learned over the years from the great ancestors, the star beings, the tall, blonde extraterrestrials that I had contact with in 1988 on board a UFO. And then since then, through telepathy, dreams, visions, and also sightings. I think that in today's show, we're on part 3, we're going to be talking about tools and how to sort of implement all of these things that we've been talking about with signs and symbols and energy and bringing that together so that we can utilize it in our daily life. I think that there's so much information out in the world today, especially and primarily on the internet and through books, that we tend to make things very complicated at times or stretch things out. And we try to even still today in today's world box them up in different ways. So to start the program today, I'd just like to take a moment to thank each and every one of you that's on the online webinar here today and those who will be listening in archive. It's very important for us to always recognize the gifts that are given in our lives, no matter how small or large they are. And as we have been talking about the last couple of days, what we think and what we feel is created within our brain, and that's our everyday mind, and then our divine brain that is the spiritual essence and energy that helps to create this universal energy that flows through us. So to start things out today, let's close our eyes for just a moment and breathe in the energies of the universe and of the earth, the way that we have learned in the technique earlier. Taking a deep breath in and just settling our minds, our bodies, our spirits, and our souls into the present moment so that we can make a circle and send the energy around to each and every one of us who's listening and who will be listening in the future. And with each breath that we inhale into our body, the divine energy of the universe is floating in through the top of our head and coming down into our bodies, our mind, our spirit, our soul, and sinking lower and lower until it reaches our feet, and then directing into the earth. And with another breath, as we take this in, we accept the energy of the Divine Mother, the earth itself, up through our feet, into our body, connecting us to the earth itself. And as the spiral takes place between above and below, we share that energy in the little droplets of bubbles, those shimmering bubbles that are all over our body, and we share that with the rest of the world and with the earth and with the universe. And as we begin today, we send gratitude, gratitude, gratitude in all directions for the guidance and love and support that we receive from the existence itself, from our guides, from the Creator, from our protectors. And we continue to ask for guidance to find all of the answers that we are looking for in our personal lives and collectively as a planet and also collectively as the existence itself. And we thank the Creator and ourselves in this process of evolving and learning. And so with another breath in, we share this with a circle, we connect our minds, and then we share this love and this positive energy with the rest of the world and with all of the souls and beings that need the enlightenment in order to move into a place of love and harmony. And we say thank you, thank you, thank you. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. Okay. So today we're going to talk about tools and how to implement this incredible technology that we are all have the ability to access. And I would like to use the word technology. This is a word that in our societies today we have come to understand as being something that creates something else. This is a technology, something that creates something else. This is my own wording on it. Technology is always being talked about. There's new technologies on energy, on medical advances, all sorts of things, on healing technologies. But ultimately, the most powerful technology that we as human beings have is ourselves. Because within each of us is the technology to be able to heal, to be able to see into the future, to be able to understand the past, to be able to time travel, to be able to go into the other worlds. And this is a very, very, very powerful technology. So the technology that we have and that we have inside of ourselves is a combination of what we've been talking about. It is a combination of your mind being the divine brain and the brain being one, the mind, the body, because it holds the vibration of the energy that you walk with in this world. So the spirit that has the ability to travel interdimensionally from place to place, as we reside in the earth, on the earth, and then the soul that carries all of the ancient wisdom, all of the understanding and knowledge from the past, the present, the future, the creator, the dimensions and worlds. So mind, body, spirit, and soul. And this is what makes up the entire package of our technology that we have here on Earth and also in all of the other realms that we exist in simultaneously. So what is it that we are doing here today on this in this seminar is that we are attempting to tap into the energies that we have within ourselves. What each and every one of us is looking for is answers. We are all seeking answers. We are seeking answers to who we are, where we're from, what our life is about, why we're having the experiences that we're having, what is the ultimate purpose, where are we going, what's in the other realms. Every question that any human being could possibly come up with is available to us. But here's the catch. Are we willing to do the work in order to find those answers? And I was speaking with Lorraine yesterday after the program, and we talked about something that is very dear to my heart, and that is the indigenous knowledge. You see, a lot of people over the years, for example, have talked to me about how the knowledge and information that the extraterrestrials have and that the indigenous have, I find those two almost parallel. That's my personal view. When we look at what it is that these masters, gurus, indigenous and extraterrestrials have, everyone is always saying, well, they should be telling us what they know. They need to tell us what they know. They need to teach us this ceremony. They need to understand what it is that that they're doing so that I can do it. Why are they holding this back from me? Why am I not being told how to access a certain piece of information? Why am I not told what the secret is? What's the secret? What is the secret? Well, a very big movement happened years ago with something called The Secret. And what this really comes down to is that the secret is that you are the technology and that you have the ability to find the answers that you're seeking in whatever form they happen to be in through understanding how energy, the basics of energy, which we went through basic energy, understanding of energy. And the basic understanding of energy allows for us to use that divine brain that we have to be able to visualize, to imagine what it is that we are experiencing that helps to amplify it. It just simply amplifies what it is that we are attempting to do. Then through looking at the signs and symbols that sort of pop up in front of us in our daily lives, it's a tool to be able to access more answers, to get to our most basic form of answer that we're looking for in the immediate moment. So, as usual, there's a little bit of bouncing around that we do at the beginning of the program so that we can lay the foundation for the other part of the program. So, with indigenous knowledge, it's something that I have learned along the way because I've had a lot of interaction with different peoples that are out there. And one of the most amazing things that I've learned is that someone can be told the greatest secret to the universe itself. And often indigenous people will tell us secrets. They'll tell us what it is that we are asking. I want to know this. And then they will actually, through the course of the day in a conversation, actually tell them things that are very profound and deep and meaningful and important. But often what happens is the person that is listening is actually not listening or hearing at all, because they think that it's more complicated. They think that what they're looking for is something else. And if there's one point that I'm trying to stress throughout these 3 days, is that we need to set aside a lot of what we think that we've learned using colors in the chakras. If it's not right for you, it's not right for you. It's not necessary. If you don't want to sit in a certain position with doing a meditation, then that's not right for you. It is about where we are as individuals and where we need to go as a universe, as the collective, and how do we get there. So in working with, for example, Indigenous people, the information that they often share, for example, about how to do a ceremony, I've seen so many people who have gone and they learn part of a ceremony, a piece of it, a simple piece of it, okay? And then they take that ceremony and they pull it apart and they create something entirely different, but they're still calling it the same type of a ceremony, when in fact it's not. It is no longer that ceremony that they are conducting. It's something entirely different. And that means the energy of it is different. The result of it is going to be different. The process that they've gone through in order to get there is going to be different. Now, this means that, you know, what I'm trying to say here is that what I'm sharing with you here is my process of how I have been able to teach myself tools about how to get from one point to the next. How I learned to work with earthquakes took me years and years and years and years and years. It took me probably close to 10 years before I started to really understand how, when I was walking and I banged into a wall, if it was from a certain direction, that's where it was from, and the intensity was at a certain number for on the Richter scale, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It takes practice, and it requires us to focus. So as we move through understanding ourselves and being gentle with ourselves and understanding with the work that we are trying to do to be able to bring forward a deeper connection into the universe itself, we need to always be thankful for both the recognition of something that we did right and that we did, you know, bang on, we got it. A friend of mine was thinking about me. I picked up the phone. I called. Great. Hug yourself. Put your arms around yourself and say thank you for the recognition of the moment. If we are, can you hold on for just a moment? Lauren, can you come on the call for a moment? Please.
Oh, sure.
Can you hold on for just a moment? I just need to cough and clear my throat for a moment. One moment, please.
Okay. Beautiful. All right. So this is session 3. And we encourage everyone to ask your questions as well during this time together, because your experience also helps validate your experience and other people's experience. Welcome back, Miriam.
Thank you. Sorry about that. I've had a cold in our house here. Everyone's getting it, so my voice is a little bit off today. So what we need to do is, what we're doing is we're looking for answers. So in order for us to find answers and implement these tools, we have to first of all be open to change. Because in order for us to be able to get, to receive information, we have to be willing to change. So I would put that question to each and every one of you who's listening. Are you willing to change? And I don't mean drastically. I don't mean, you know, changing every single thing in your life and getting into a routine and letting go of friends. I'm talking about, are you willing to transform your life? So that's the first thing that we have to ask ourselves. Are we willing to transform and allow this change to happen? Something happens with people in spirituality and that are seeking answers. And I know from my personal experience that almost all of us have gone through what I'm going to share. And that includes a lot of the people that maybe you have listened to in the past or are listening to now in regard to teachers that are out on the internet and at seminars around the world. And that is that we are being taught, all of us, everyone in today's society is being taught something, that to focus on yourself is not right, and that we should not focus on ourselves. And that if we say, wow, I really am great, I'm fantastic, I am so good at being able to predict earthquakes, I'm great, that we all of a sudden are made into egomaniac, crazy people. But that's not the case. It depends on how you go about doing that. But we have to recognize ourselves, and we have to focus on ourselves. And that comes from a place of being grateful and having gratitude to our own spirit and our own soul. Sometimes when I recognize something that has happened, like the eagle that I described in the prior program, and I received the message and I understood it and it connected in with what I thought that it did, I actually take my hands and I cross them over the front of me and I say, thank you. Thank you for seeing and accepting the ability to see that sign. Because we have to love ourselves in the process of what it is that we are doing. And we have to have recognition of ourselves and our accomplishments. That isn't ego. That is about focusing on your inner self. We need to focus on our inner selves in order to reach a higher place of understanding. So in this process, we have to remind ourselves to be gentle with the information that comes in, because we will be wrong and there will be stumbling blocks along the way. And it's not about finding divine perfection. I don't believe that any being, even Buddha and Jesus, in my opinion, was a divine perfected being. I think that they were close to perfection, but I don't believe that they were a perfected being, because in order for them to be a perfected being, we would all have to be perfect, because we are connected, you see? So we tend to, in today's world, look exterior in order to find answers, and ultimately it is through the interior that we find answers. Now, I'm going to do a little storytelling again to talk about how we can use these visions and our inner voice and our observation in order to get us answers to whatever it is that we happen to be seeking and looking for. So when we are going into a meditation and we make ourselves comfortable, find, if you're looking for answers to your life, do not make them broad spectrum questions. It's the first thing. We have to make things simple. We have to give, if we can't find an answer to something, then we're going to ask for support in a specific area. So define what it is that you want. If we don't know what it is that we want, we can't ever get it. We can't ever find it. And in spiritualism and being spiritual, what we have a tendency of doing is trying to seek everything all at once. Okay, give me the answers right now. I want the answer of how to do that. Can you please tell me and give me my list, and I'm going to make my list and I'm going to go through it. And when it doesn't work, I'm going to be disappointed. That's what we do. We do the same thing outside of life in the world today, the way that we've built it up, that we're doing in the spiritual world as well. We're making our list. We're following it. We think at the end, we need to have this right now. It's ours. We demand it. It doesn't work that way. What's required in order for us to implement spiritualism into our daily lives and to be able to work, really work with the energy, is to have a level of humility. A level of humility. Because we are not the creator. We are creators. Each and every one of us is a creator. We can create things. We can manifest things. We can create magic. And I know in my life I have. I'll tell some stories about that. But we have a tendency of doing it, and then, or we have a tendency to not believe that it's possible. So I'm going to share a story with you about energy and dreams and trying to pull this together a little bit. A couple of years ago, I had two people staying in my house. They came, they didn't really have anywhere to go, so they came and stayed at my house, and they were here, I think, for 3 or 4 months, and it was a bit challenging. It was not easy for me, especially, considering I was helping them out. But they were in my home, and there's always purpose to everything, right? So I didn't have any money at the time. I had absolutely nothing. I had nothing available to me at all. But still, these people were in my house, and they were helping to buy food and this kind of thing. So one morning, I woke up after having a very powerful dream and hearing a voice in my head telling me that I was going to be going to Africa next week and that I needed to prepare. Now, can you imagine? I was sitting with no money to pay my bills, no money for food, and then all of a sudden a voice came and said, I am going to be going to Africa next week and to prepare. Well, this was a very powerful voice and vision and dream. It came all at the same time, just as I was waking up. So it was a little bit of all of those things combined. And I woke up, and because of the practice that I've had over the years, I recognized that this was a truthful voice. It was a very truthful voice. And I knew that it would happen. So I went to the people that were staying in my home, and I said, please, you're going to have to leave. You're going to have to make preparations. Look, I've already talked to you about this, but okay, now you really do have to leave, you know, by the end of the week. And I said to the young man, did you talk to your girlfriend? He said, no, I didn't. That was the first day. The second day I went back and said, did you talk to her? He said, no, I didn't. He said, Miriam, I don't see it. I don't know how you're going to do this. And I said, you know what? Just, you need to make preparations. You need to make plans. Tell me what you need to leave, and I will even try and help you if I can, but you can't stay here anymore. On the third day, I went to talk to him, and he said to me, Miriam, you don't even have money. He said, you don't even have money for food. He said, you're not going to Africa. And I said to him, if you bring that energy into my house again, I will literally pack up your things and put them outside, because I can't have that right now. I said, I know that I'm going to Africa next week. A miracle is going to happen, and someone is going to come out of absolutely nowhere and make it all possible. A couple of days, on the fourth day, when I was half packed and I was almost ready to go, everything fell into place. Someone helped me, and I went to Africa. And it was a very long story. But the point is that the tools of being able to read the energy and seeing the signs and symbols enable you to be able to have miracles like this happen, to manifest them. To be able to understand how to work with this energy in for anything, whether it is for love, for a new job, for new friends, for to resolve conflicts, to understand your purpose in life. Anything and everything can be used, you know, all of this energy can be used in order to support this personal process of yours, as long as it is done with a level of humility. You see, we all have a daily life that we live, and we are always going to have stumbling blocks and difficulties, no matter who we are. But there is something in all of this that's very, very, very important, and that is called the spiritual heart. So I remember that when I was a very young girl in my life, I used to tell everyone, even when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, I used to tell my friends, if you follow your heart, you will never go wrong. It was a mantra of mine growing up when I was a very young girl. And it actually is a very profound statement, because it's true. If you follow your heart, you will never go wrong. And I know that many of you, or almost all of us, have heard this being said before. But what is the heart? There is the spiritual heart, and this is what we're talking about, the spiritual heart. And the spiritual heart is humble. The spiritual heart is not focused on the ego self. Give me this. I want to look like I'm rich. I want to look beautiful. I want. The spiritual heart is not saying I want. Whereas the heart of desire says I want, I demand, and I want it and demand it now. So we have to be looking at the spiritual heart in all of this and saying, why am I asking for this piece of information? I think that this is a key for people to understand. So many people want the end result. They want to know, how do I manifest $10,000? How do I manifest it right now in this exact moment? How do I do that? I want to know how to connect to the star beings right now. I want to know how to talk to them. I want to know how to astral travel immediately. Give me that information. This is the desire heart that's asking these types of things, rather than the spiritual heart that says, I humbly come to you, O Creator, and ask you to support me in my spiritual path, to show me the path to follow, and to allow me to have the insight and knowledge that is necessary and needed, not only for my spiritual development, but for my physical, mental, and emotional path as well. And to support me financially and with friends and family and coworkers in my life, in order to allow for me to continue growing and learning more of the creation and of Creator. Now, you just manifested with that prayer. That's a manifestation with gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. I always repeat it 3 times, because gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. We forget that we have to send gratitude. If you don't have money and you find 25 cents on the street, stop, close your eyes, and just breathe it in and breathe it out and say, thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting me, Creator. And send that out with your bubbles, with your little tiny sparks of light all into the earth, into the universe, and into the rest of the world. And like, remember what I said, like attracts like. So if you are sending out gratitude for money, that money is going to find its way back to you. These are keys that we need to focus on in order to understand how to utilize all of the energy and work with it in order to find answers to our lives. So in order to analyze all of this information, in order to put it into perspective for how best to implement it in our lives, we need to be very aware of the finer details of what we are experiencing and seeing with these signs and symbols around us. I remember when I was very, very young, in my early teens, and I was exceptionally gifted psychically. And I think I was more, I sometimes think I was more in touch then, but the reality is that I just didn't know how to control it. I wasn't able to shut it down. It was completely open, and that's not the right approach either. But what would happen was I would be around people, and I would see flashes of things in their lives and so forth, and I wouldn't know what to do with that information. Why was I seeing it? What was the purpose of it? And I just didn't know. When we don't know why something is coming at us, we don't know how to use it. We don't know what we're supposed to do with that. And I think that people used to say to me, you're so in touch, you're so in tune, and all of the, you know, they used to say this to me when I was younger all the time. They'd say, well, so how are you tapping into this? What is the meaning of this? Why is this happening to you? You're really psychic. You can see into the other worlds and all of these things. And I thought, well, can I? Can I really see into the other worlds all the time? Is that always what this is, this intuition that we have, this intuition that we have? Intuition. It is not about knowing something. It's about being intuitive and sort of being very observant. So you can take a piece of paper and write this down. Observe. If we observe everything around us, we begin to see the signs and symbols, and then we can start to work with that energy. For example, as we are going through our daily lives, and we begin to have, we are meeting different people, maybe we're going to a party and we walk in and we don't know the entire circle of people, and it's with a newer friend, and you realize, I'm really not comfortable with this group. I'm not sure why. You don't have to sit down and completely pick it apart and start analyzing in an analytical way, but you can start looking at it and saying, just notice how your body feels in the situation, and just for a moment tap into that, and then say, why am I not comfortable here? And just very, very quickly listen to the first response that comes in. And whatever these initial flashes are, this is the key to being able to make bigger steps and being able to implement all of the teachings that you will have learned, not only in this seminar, but throughout your entire life with other seminars and books that you may have read, or throughout your own personal process. Because this is about building confidence. It's about building confidence in what it is that you already know. So it's very difficult to talk about, you know, how exactly to bring all of this information together with your inner voice, with your observation, and being confident in moving forward and remembering to always thank yourself, thank the universe, thank your guides, thank your protectors. Because often, if we just, you know, if we're walking down the street and it's winter and we almost slip and fall and we didn't because someone caught us, don't just say thank you to the person. You can actually say thank you to your protectors. Just think it, just for a moment, and start to live that way by recognizing this is key. We have to remember that we are surrounded by spirit all the time. This is not just human beings walking here on Earth. And how dare we think that we are so much more than the rest of the existence. We are only a part of it, bringing it back to the humble state. When the conversation between yourself and your own inner spirit and soul starts, when you start to recognize and give thanks and gratitude to your own spirit, your own soul, to your guides, to protectors, and to the Creator itself, everything will automatically begin to become clear. That is absolute. But you have to remember to do that. And I'm not talking about doing it every 5 minutes. What I'm saying is that just to be aware and remind yourself, thank you, Creator, for providing for me in this day. Thank you to the earth for providing this food in front of me. Thank you to the waters for giving life. Thank you to Loren for hosting this program. Thank you to each of you who are on the program listening, as we are all connected, etc., etc. We have a tendency to think that we have to make it complicated, and we don't. Understanding and tapping into spiritual energy in a very, very, very powerful way is always, it is most powerful in its most simple form. Remember that. It is most powerful in its most simple and humble form. When we think about trying to understand how to deal with, for example, conflict. Conflict is something that we have every day in our lives here on the planet, and each and every one of us has different forms. It comes in different forms, big and small. And how we work with that is through, in part, by energy, by pure energy, by thinking, thought, and energy. But at the same time, having conflict, because that is about what we're trying to do spiritually, to grow and to understand. I know that for myself in my life, boy oh boy, I've had so much of this. And I've learned to understand how the energy transference sort of works. And even in as recent as a couple of years ago, I had a lot of conflict with people because I didn't understand how to interact with individuals who really, we can't do anything about it. If they want conflict, they're going to bring conflict. If they are not happy, they're going to bring their unhappiness. We are not there to force ourselves onto another person's opinions, objectives, goals, nothing. But we can work through pure energy, which is how to draw in from the universe, from the earth, from the air, and share that out through our pores. And I think that one of the best ways to counter negative energy is to utilize that and then push it back out by just saying thank you. Just saying thank you. And, you know, the Ho'oponopono that people talk about, what is that? Thank you, I love you, please forgive me. That's a very powerful statement, and it is something that doesn't necessarily work in the words, but works in the way that we feel through, as someone else mentioned, the emotional body. The emotion that we carry and the emotion that we feel is what we project out. And don't get me wrong, because I actually disagree with probably about 99% of the planet's teachings, including the Buddhist's teachings of karma. I do not agree with the standard teachings on karma, where the karma says, if you were raped as a woman, that means you needed to learn something. If you were brutalized as a man and put into slavery in Africa, you needed to learn something. I don't agree with those teachings. What I believe is that we have chosen a specific aspect to learn, and that is what we're learning. And yes, there is a level of karma that happens personally, collectively, emotionally. There is that in our daily lives. But karma is part of the makeup that allows for us to be able to heal something. So, for example, if we as an individual are in a very, very toxic situation, for example, we can use this energy and understanding to be able to see the signs and around us as well. By bringing in the energy of love and just sharing that and just taking a breath and letting it out. But something else that's very powerful is to recognize that they are not actually projecting onto us. They are not projecting onto us when they cause the conflict, when they bring the conflict directly to our door. Because quite often what we say to others is actually what we are feeling inside. And even as spiritual teachers, a little hint for you here, that if you listen to a spiritual teacher and they're constantly talking about being forgiving, they're trying to forgive others. Whatever it is that we are, and if that's the motto of that spiritual teacher, that could be, not always, so be careful, because it's being able to see the difference in things, being observant, picking up the energy of what they're saying. We have to understand that whatever it is that we are saying to other people is what we are truly feeling inside of ourselves. And this is the spiritual energy that we carry. This is the spiritual connection to the rest of our friends, our family, humanity, and the spirit world. It connects back out. So if you notice yourself and you're observing yourself, observe, 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 and you are constantly saying, I hate that, then you're building hate. There's something in you that you don't like. These are spiritual tools. Quite often people want to share that spiritualism and spiritual understanding and connection in order to gain further insight into the universe and into our soul is something all divine and beautiful and sparkly. And the fact is that in order to reach that depth of our soul, we have to have the humility to observe ourselves in the process also, and have the willingness to be able to change and transform and grow. And our inner voices, I did a whole program, 2 hours, and I talked about the inner voice. And there's three aspects to the inner voice. And we need to understand this in utilizing this as a tool of being able to bring clarity to our lives, even in a meditation, for example. Okay? So if you ask a question and you're just thinking it through and trying to make a decision, there's three aspects of the brain, of the inner voice, the brain, the divine brain. One is going to say, oh, you are so beautiful, Miriam. Oh my gosh, you're just so amazing. Everyone loves you. You're so perfect. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. That's pure ego. We don't listen to that voice. The other voice says, Miriam, who do you think you are? You are nothing. You have no right to do anything. Why do you think that you have the right to even speak to people? You're terrible. You're nothing. Stop, stop, stop. That's another part of the ego that's completely flipped. Then there's the middle that says, you know, Miriam, you're good. You can improve. Keep going. Keep trying. Continue to move forward. You're doing great. So it's these three aspects of our brain that we are constantly in battle with, those three aspects. So if you're trying to figure something out and you're constantly beating yourself up spiritually, ask yourself, which part of my brain is speaking to me? Because you're trying to access the divine brain. The divine brain is the one in the middle. The divine brain gives it to you as it is. Miriam, you could still continue to keep moving forward. You're doing great. You need some improvement, but you're doing great. Keep going. Pat on the back. Love yourself. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So this is coming up on the first hour, and as we know, we the first hour, there's a lot of groundwork that's laid, and then I would really like to hear questions and some examples of different things from the people participating. So I'd like to ask Luann if there are any questions that have come up, and how we will move into the second hour, what it is that we can focus on. Luann?
Okay. Well, it looks like I think it's Tom who has his hand raised, or this is from the Tom household. It could be a woman or another listener. So let's take our phone caller first. Hello, okay. You're unmuted.
Hi, Lorraine?
Yes, hi, Tom.
Hi, Lorraine. Hi, Miriam.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
I'm good. I'm happy to have you on the seminar today. And what kind of a question do you have or comment?
Okay, certainly. First, thank you. I've totally enjoyed being a guest on this web course. The last 2 days I've been at work, so I've been more of a listener than a participant. But going back to what you mentioned a few minutes ago about even be full of gratitude when you say find a quarter, my lot in life seems to be whenever I need to know I'm on the right direction, I find a penny. It'll be on the ground in front of me in the middle of a parking lot, just right there. I look down and see it. And that's fine and that's good. I use that as a direction, but after all these years of finding pennies, I am questioning how to go to the next level and thread these together to actually understand what being on the right path the penny is indicating.
Okay. I understand. Was that your whole question, or did you have something else?
No, that's the whole question. It's great finding like a breadcrumb or a penny, and I'm happy and I am thankful for that. I just not sure where I'm supposed to go with that, the trail that I'm being shown.
Okay, so I'm going to just ask that you stay on the line for just a moment, just to make sure that I'm able to clearly share what I think that you're saying. What happens for you is that you're not really sure what's happening in your life, and you're wondering if maybe a recent decision that you've made or something that you've changed in your life is the right path, and then all of a sudden you find the penny, and it gives you that sense of, oh, yes, I'm on the path, and then you go on, but you don't know where to step from there. Am I understanding you correctly?
That's pretty much correct. And I'm not conscious of what I might have done the day before to cause another penny to appear in my life. And I'm talking maybe several hundred pennies over 10 years. It's like I see the penny and I recognize it as, oh, I must be on the right path because obviously I stepped to a point where the penny is. And then I think, well, what is this right path I'm on?
Okay. Okay. So, all right. Well, we'll talk about this for a little bit then. So we can mute you again, Tom, and
Oh, no worries. Go ahead.
Okay. And we'll get into this. If you wanted to jump back on and get into a bit further, absolutely do so. Please feel free to do so. I think that Tom's analogy of what he has happening in his life is really beautiful because all of us have signs that we personally have that have come up over our lives that sort of tell us that we're on the right path or not on the right path for example. There is something similar in my life where I started seeing something, and when I saw it, my initial reaction, my initial thought was, people, this person is praying for me. This person is praying for me. And then I found that I actually, for at one point, asked the person, were you praying for me today at about 4 o'clock? Just curious, just wondering. And they said, yes, I was. And then at some other point, I asked again, and I got confirmation. So, you know, now whenever I see this, I absolutely know that this is what's happening, because I've gone through my own process of seeing it, of recognizing how I feel, and of being able to work with that energetically, to be able to say, oh, okay, thank you very much for the sign. Now, what is happening in those kind of situations is that everyone has their own signs and symbols, as Tom clearly stated a moment ago. His is finding a penny. We all have them. We all have them. This is about observing to find your own if you don't think that you already have one, or two, or ten, or hundreds. Because we are being supported by the spirit world and by the universe all the time. I mean, all the time we're being supported. And what happens is that we will get a little nudge spiritually to either look down and find that penny, to be able to see, turn our head to the left and be able to see another sign or a symbol that represents something to us. And this is coming directly from spirit, directly from Creator. So one of the ways to be able to take this to another step and be able to utilize it to get somewhere further, Tom, is that when you find the penny or when you see it, pick it up and stop for just a moment and say, thank you for the guidance. Please continue to guide me for the next step. Show me the path. If this means for you, Tom, that this is the path that you are on and it is the right path, and you're just wondering, how do I get to the next one? Well, let's take it back to the energy. We first observe, then we recognize, then we give thanks, okay? So again, we observed it, we give thanks, we recognize that it's there, and then what do? We share that energy. Just take a breath. This isn't about sitting down for 25 minutes doing a meditation. It's about thank you, thank you, thank you for confirming that I am on the right path. And that is the absolute, we talked about earlier that there's a stage when you go in and out of dream time that's the most powerful, coming out of dream and going into dream, when we go through what's called the void that holds all of that information, all of that energy, okay? This is also what happens when we pass away, and also when we come into our bodies. We go through this area that I define as the void. It has everything. When a gift from the other world comes, like seeing the penny or whatever sign it is that we have, the way to tap into that and bring more clarity and more energy is to observe it, recognize it, emotional self, physical self, what your thought is just in that direct moment, observe, give thanks, and saying it under your breath. I always say it under my breath. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I say it very, very, very softly. And then from there, it's manifested into this world, because the sound vibration, sound. People talk about manifesting. How do you manifest into this world? How do I bring it into this world? I meditate, you know, 10 hours a week and I can't manifest anything. Well, have you ever made a sound when you're I play music. Okay. The music is part of the, is one of the tools of being able to help to manifest. Absolutely. And it's a powerful tool. But the greatest technology that we have is our own voice. And so what we need to do is when we breathe and when we speak, we are manifesting. We are the creators of our own creation. We are the ones that are pulling that out of the ethers of the spirit world and manifesting it onto and into this world. For example, when you see the penny and you give thanks and you breathe in, and you don't even have to do it deeply. You can just do a normal breath if you're around people and just smile and just imagine that shooting out of all of your pores into this reality and out through the universe and into the earth itself, then from there, all of a sudden, you have an open door. The door is open to the other world in that exact moment. When we recognize that something profound may have happened, regardless of what it is, we have a split second of a door open into the other world. So ask your question right there. Please guide me to take me to the next step. And then you can even give it more clarity. Simplest, the more simple, the more powerful, remember? The simpler, the more powerful. And then, if you're asking a question, don't leave it so broad that you're not going to be able to find an answer. So, for example, thank you for, you know, and I will say it even once. In situations like that at times, if I am trying to ask a question, I may say thank you and then say the question and then say thank you again another couple of times. I thank the Creator and my guides for showing me that I am on the path. I please request guidance for to show me the next step of how I can connect with the spirit world. Please show me the next step for how I can connect to the spirit world. In dreams, physically, more signs, what is it that you want? Figure out what it is that you're looking for and then try and just make your own little mantra. Find your own mantras in these types of situations and just work with one and then you can add another one, and you can add another one, and you can add another one. I have mantras all day long, every single breath I take. You know, if I stop and I realize, I will just say thank you for the energy that's around me. If I'm eating, there's never been a day in my life I don't think that I've given gratitude, except maybe when I didn't talk, for the food that was in front of me. I don't need to sit there and put my hands over the food and send energy into it and say gratitude and I love my food and everything else. It is truly speaking, thinking from that energetic body, from that emotion of love and gratitude and humility and honor and respect. See, if we take a list of words, and we say them, love, honor, respect, humility, observe how your body feels right now. Love, honor, respect, humility, gratitude, abundance. These are beautiful words. As soon as we go into words like destruction, heartache, pain, resentment, anger, I would like all of you to all of a sudden right now observe the way you feel in your body. Anger, resentment, horror, destruction. There's a difference in the way that we feel. So going back, releasing that now, releasing it back, and saying thank you for letting us look at that for a moment, going back into a place of love and honor and respect. Words for how they affect our emotional state is very powerful. This is why in conflict situations, it is not always what we do, you know, physically that does the most damage. It is the words that do the most damage. I've had a lot of conflict in my time. I'm going to go back to this again because I think that it's an issue for our world, not just for us as individuals, but for the entire planet. And what we need to recognize is our own self-worth. It is what it is that we are we worthy to, of the universe to show us the next step? Are we worthy of our coworkers in them honoring and respecting us? Are we worthy of our partner honoring and respecting us? There's so many things that come up in respect to how we can tap into this energy and give gratitude for it and then share it back out. But in doing so, it's not just about thinking and believing and seeing and sending energy. It is about physically also manifesting with our breath and with the air. Because the elements themselves, when the creation and creator were brought into this reality, when we were created, it was created through sound. So when we want to manifest, we have to go into a meditation, and then we can very quietly and with humility ask for what it is that we want with the most simple wording possible and leave it at that and keep asking. Keep asking the same question every time you go into a meditation. And for some people, it may take one meditation. For some, it may take 10. For some, it may take a year. But eventually, you will get an answer because you're going to that place, going to the Creator and to the creation and our guides and our ancestors with humility and honor for what it is that they are sharing with us. So when we go into conflict situations, we can send the energy back out and just say, I love you, or thank you for showing me who you are, and then be strong and thank yourself for being in the light. And then confronting people who are confronting you, you don't need to justify yourself to other people. If you know that you are working from a place of spiritual heart, remember that. If you are working, a spiritual heart is about morality. Is it moral? Is it morally correct? Your spiritual heart being morally correct. Am I being mean to someone? Have I truly not done anything to them? No. Okay, this is my spiritual heart. Well, if you're speaking and walking and breathing and doing what you're doing in daily life from a spiritual heart and a spiritual center, then there's no reason for you to send out aggression towards them in any way, shape, or form. But in saying so, there's something I have personally had experience with this where, and I have to admit that I was actually trained by others to do this. When someone comes to me with great conflict, I just look at them, and there's a gentleman in my life who has done everything within his power to sort of destroy certain relationships in my life, and he's with a group of people that, you know, that situation is never going to change. He's always going to be part of that group. And I work with that group of people. And there's nothing that I can do about it except the way I react to them and what is my emotional state to them. And that is about an energy exchange. If I continually play into that and let this person get me upset and rile me up, then they actually are controlling my emotional state. They're controlling my energy. They're controlling everything about me. So very, very slowly, I started to build my confidence that, you know what? I am working from a spiritual heart. I am working from a place of being morally correct. I'm not harming or hurting anyone, and I know that, even though this person has been saying horrible things about me, I know that it's not right. So why am I upset? If I can, it's almost like saying I confront that person with love and just say to them, how are you today? Eventually, everyone around them will see that they're the ones that are just being problematic, and you can let it go. So in the spiritual world, when we are looking at energy and how to tap into it and how to utilize it in our lives, it is really an understanding of the fact that all energy can be, there's three things again. This three, the number three is so important in spiritualism, and I don't think enough people are talking about this. The divine brain in the center there, and then the two other aspects, the positive and the negative. When you're talking about, you can send energy, you can receive energy, or you can try to hold on to energy. And the most important thing that you can do is let all of that energy flow through you. Do not try to hold on to anything, positive or negative. And then it grows. So that when you do call the energy of light to you, it's very, very, very powerful. When you do send it out away from you, it's very, very, very powerful. So it is about not trying to necessarily hold on to something. People think that when they want to manifest something, that they're bringing it to themselves. Well, remember in the beginning we talked about energy. Like attracts like. So if you're the rock and the water, you can't necessarily attract one to the other. The water will not go through the rock. So we can observe that when we send out money and gratitude, when we are saying, for example, I send gratitude, gratitude, gratitude for the abundance of finances in my of money in my life. Thank you in all directions in spirit, and thank myself as well. Always remember, thank yourself as well. And then share that with the rest of the world. Just share that energy. I am grateful and send gratitude, gratitude, gratitude for having love in my life. And then you send that out. Anything that you want, you send that energy out. You don't try to bring it into you. That's one of the things. And I will say this. The ability to do this is something that is absolutely profound and powerful. It is exceptionally powerful. And I have personally had experience with this, where when I did approach it from that spiritual heart and from that moral heart and with humility, absolute miracles have happened. And this is where we need to come from. Loren, did someone else have a question on the program?
Yeah, there are some questions coming up, and they're more, maybe now would be a good time. You kind of addressed the emotional body as part of the physical,
mm-hmm.
But there is a question coming in. What about, Angela asks, where the emotional energy body fits into this?
Okay. Was there another question other than that as well? We'll get to this one first. Thank you, Loren. The emotional body is very important for the rest of the work that we're doing spiritually. For example, even for myself, I've had difficulties in my physical body. Okay, so there's a physical body that we have that connects just the same way as all of the energies do and all of the signs and symbols. Everything's connected to everything else. And when my emotional state becomes clogged, and I'm fixated on one thing, either a bad relationship, a bad breakup, difficulties at work, anything like that, challenges with anything and everything that people have challenges with, it can manifest into the what we would call the emotional body. So the emotional body is being able to understand that, and here's the thing, that what we're talking about really is the divine brain with the other aspects of the brain that are fighting each other, the positive and the negative. What we're trying to do is we're trying to connect this emotion, because emotion has everything to do with everything. You know, I had someone a couple of years ago try to tell me that emotion had nothing to do with spiritualism. And I thought, what? Emotion has everything to do, because what we feel and what we sense, that's what we're feeling. That's what we're sensing. Is something right or is something wrong? Is it positive or is it negative? Is it correct or is it a lie? This comes through an emotion. And it is that emotion, that's why it's so important to observe our emotional selves and being able to work with that. So energetically, I think that what maybe Angela may be asking, and it is, I think this might be what she's asking, is that in this we have the physical body that is also part of the emotional body. And in order to cleanse that emotional body, you can use your, quote, imagination. And using your imagination to do all of this type of work, especially when it comes to the energetic work, is essential. We have to use what our imagination. It's not about making up stories into a fantasy, which I know people who have done that for sure. But it's about using it as a tool to be able to focus our thought in order for it to manifest. So to cleanse the emotional body, what you can do and what we can do is imagine that when we bring in all of that energy, that we go directly to like another shell, another layer of us inside of our bodies that is our emotional body, and to clean that out, to let that energy be cleaned out, if that makes sense. I think that that's actually a very important question about the emotional body, because it is how we observe. If we were non-emotional beings, none of this would be relevant, because then we wouldn't have ego. We wouldn't have love. We wouldn't have hate. Emotion is everything. So I think it's a very important question. Thank you. Was there another question?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
There were some few that came in, but for some reason, my instant teleseminar won't show me those questions. But we'll wait for that to come back on.
Okay. So this is about following your heart. And here's the thing, that when we are working on all of this, we have to ask ourselves something. And I'm going to give a negative, an absolutely negative example here of someone that I know. They've had profound and amazing and extraordinary spiritual experiences in one area. Unfortunately, what they did was they got to the point where complete ego took over. And then they began to imagine that there were all of these connections that were not actually real connections. And then they were taken down a very dark path, because instead of remaining in a place of absolute humility, they became defensive and angry and fought a lot with the people that were around them because they believed that they were right. And this is something that can happen with spiritual, with our spiritual paths, that we all of a sudden become aggressive towards other people. No, I'm right. Well, I am right for myself, but that doesn't mean that I'm right for everyone else. And that is something that is very important in our spiritual development of being able to put the pieces together for our own personal lives and being able to work with the different energies. So, for example, when we go into the dream time, even when we go into the dream time and we want to work with the energies that way, we can actually go through the prayer, whatever your prayer you use, and I'll repeat mine again. I only allow goodness, truth, love, and light to come to me or through me, for I live my life in the light of God. I thank my guides and protectors for coming and being with me in the dream time. I ask that the Creator and that my guides show me what it is that I need to focus on for my future spiritual development. A couple of things will happen. We tend to, again, put ourselves into a box. Oh, I'm not having any dreams. Oh, it doesn't work for me, Miriam. I said, well, have you received any guidance? Have you changed anything? Well, I've changed a lot of things, but I didn't receive any dreams, so you're wrong. Oh, okay, great. So you just limited yourself by thinking, oh, it only is going to come and be manifested to me and shown to me if I have a very deeply physical, visually physical dream in front of me. And if I have that, then this was a success, and that's when I received my answers. That's not the case. I will use this technique on myself. I actually use this technique myself. And when I do, I will wake up on the third day or the fourth day, and all of a sudden, I'm halfway through my day, and I'm already making plans for whatever. I'm taking steps forward, and we're making plans with something that I didn't even realize I was making plans on, and all of a sudden I realize, oh, I have my answer. I just didn't remember a physical dream in front of my eyes. So again, it's about observing yourself, and then when I realize that, I stopped myself for a moment and said, oh, thank you for showing me what I needed to see. And yes, sometimes that might be my imagination, but it doesn't matter. It does not matter, because as long as what you're doing is not harming yourself or others, as long as what you're seeing and visualizing and understanding is peaceful and positive, and it is not shifting things in a radical way, that will potentially bring difficulty into your life, like quitting your job all of a sudden after 3 days of dreaming. You really need to be clear on things like that. Then we can support our spiritual paths and move forward. So the question is, does something feel right to you? And it is important to note, does it feel right to you? Because if it doesn't feel right, then it's probably not right. I've had so many situations in my own personal life where something didn't feel right, and I tried to push away that feeling, and I tried to move forward because I was thinking with that parts of my brain that said, oh, you can be nice to this person. You can work with them because, you know, they really want to work with you. But did they? Did they want to work with me, or did they want to come and be disruptive? Did they want more than I was able to share with them? Is this person really my friend, or are they simply trying to take advantage of a situation that I happen to be in? These kind of situations that come up in our lives, we do have, in hindsight, if we sit quietly and observe into our history, we can start to see the patterns that we ourselves are creating spiritually. Everyone has them, including me. And it is a constant evolution towards recognizing the patterns that we have created for ourselves and how we are choosing to not listen to our spirit, how we are choosing to not listen to our life path and our soul, and how we are positively listening as well. So it's about being gentle with yourself as you grow and learn, because it is important to have that self-recognition that what you've been doing is correct and that what you are doing is, in fact, supporting the spiritual uplifting. Because the minute, because you see, spirit and creator wants to be recognized. It is not that it wants to be recognized for ego. It's just simply there. Everything wants to be recognized because we're all part of each other. We're connected. So everything is constantly there in front of us, touching us, interacting with us. That's the kind of recognition. As soon as we start to give our attention to the recognition that we found the penny or the sign or the symbol, or we happen to see out of the corner of our eye a friend walking down the street that we haven't seen in 3 years, that that all of a sudden will start to change our lives. And here's something, for as an example. Last week I thought about someone that I know, that I've known for since I was a very young girl. And about 5 days ago, I was thinking, wow, I really need to call that person and go out for lunch. And I haven't talked to them in years, literally. And I think the last time we communicated was maybe 6 months ago. And 5 days ago, 4 days ago, I thought, wow, I really need to call her or reach out to her and go for lunch. Because it's time we reconnect. And yesterday I received a message from her pretty much saying, you know, hello, how are you? What's happening in your life? And so forth. Now, if I follow that and I go and I say, wow, I was just thinking about her. It's just a recognition. It's just a simple recognition, but that's actually about spirit and connecting in with the energies that are around all of us. Is this making sense to everyone? Do the people listening understand how simple and basic these connections can be? And that's a question that I would put forth to ask everyone, because and bring feedback to this. When we recognize the spirit that is around us, it's like sending out the energy, right? All of a sudden you recognize something, wow. That means that the next time that spirit comes back, or the next time the answer comes back, or the clarity, or the insight, or the feeling, or the emotion, it's going to be stronger and more clear. It's about sharing and then it coming back and receiving. But we have to be ready to receive. We must be ready to receive. So the other part of this is that no matter who we are and what we think that we know, we do need confirmation. And confirmation that you're not crazy, confirmation that this isn't your quote-unquote complete imagination and hallucinations. We all need that to a certain degree, absolutely. And it has to be part of the process somehow. So part of that confirmation for you will come through the recognition, the observance, just like the example of the earthquakes. I observed that I was doing this strange banging into walls. Then I observed that it had to do something with the timing of earthquakes. So all of a sudden when this starts to happen, then the last step of the confirmation for me was to start to verbalize it. And I'll never forget it. Once I walked out of the house one day when my mother was still alive many years ago, almost 20 years ago now. And I said to her, oh, there's going to be an earthquake. And she said, no, don't tell me that. I don't want to know. And it was the first time I ever told her something like this about an earthquake, not about other things, but about an earthquake. And my older sister was there as well, and she said, what? And I said, yeah, I banged into a wall, so it's going to be. She said, no, it's not. You're just crazy. I've heard that so many times. It's kind of ironic. And sure enough, there was an earthquake. That's my confirmation. But do I constantly need that confirmation from other people? No, because there comes a point where I know that there's going to be an earthquake. Okay, so it's coming. That is a gift from the Creator that I am tapping into. That is the tool that is being shown to me and shared with me. Sometimes it may have purpose and reason for other people. Sometimes it may be for myself. And sometimes it may be just part of the energy of the earth or the energy of the collective. So it is about observance, confirmation for yourself, and just not having attachment to it. Do not try to attach to this, because in doing work like this, we can sometimes be wrong. When we look at mainstream, when you look at quote-unquote mainstream teachers, they will never, ever come forward and start making predictions and start looking at how you can make predictions like this in your life and how you can tap into this. They don't go there because it is personal. It is personal to you, and they know that. So in mainstream teachers and gurus, they're not going to take you down that personal path. They're going to give you all of the universal teachings. What I'm trying to share with you here is the more personal teachings, the ones that are going to come to you that you yourself can tap into to recognize for yourself and to understand that it can give you insights into your future, into what it is that you need to do. Because when we understand that we are connected to all of these different aspects, and we don't try to hold on to it, and we acknowledge them, they become very, very, very powerful. Very powerful. So, Loren, would you mind coming back on? And also, is the information that you're being given, is it logical? I mean, logical as in if you're trying to find an answer to a past life, that maybe you had a past life and you had some difficulty that you're holding in your emotional body and you have a vision, does that vision connect with you or not? If it doesn't connect with you on an emotional level, even here and now, then let it go and don't hold on to it. Were there any more questions, Loren?
Let's see. It is very funky, the connection with my questions. If people are typing those in, for some reason I cannot get into those, and there's no hands raised at the moment. So, my goodness, I guess as we bring this together, I've always got more questions on when you were on the ship and you were downloading this information, how long did it take you to, decipher and unravel the information? Or was it like a knowingness right when it was happening? And so maybe you want to describe that as too, because it was a 3-hour period.
Yes.
That you were receiving this download. That's a fascinating story.
It is a fascinating story. I have to admit that even for myself, I've had a very unique life. I've been tapped into some form of otherworldly energies my whole life. There has never been a time when I have been, you know, cut off completely from that, from this other energy and not having it interact with my life on a daily basis. And I'm very fortunate, I think, for that reason, but it's also been very difficult. In 1988, when I was on board the UFO, I was taken on board by tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed extraterrestrials, and they downloaded me with this massive amounts of information. Part of what they did was they repatterned my brain for me to be able to access this information. So let's talk about that for a minute, because the information that they shared with me was so profound, and it was so powerful, and the connection was so it was just so strong that it took me at least 2 years for it to sort of integrate into my body and into my being and into my thoughts to be able to sort of put the information where it needed to go in my brain. And I have to admit that it's been 27 years, and I am still in processing mode with the information. It's still being processed, because it is about being able to find the language or the stories help me to be able to sort of demonstrate what it is that that I know and how it works and how to tap into the different energies. So my own personal experiences have enabled me to be able to find the language to be able to share some of this with people, because it is a concept. It's nothing more than a concept until you start to use it, and then it becomes a reality. And until you start to use it, it's nothing. It is not really present in your life, because you have to open the door to it. Something happens within the brain itself, and a lot of people have talked about this, the divine brain, the calcification that takes place in the pineal gland, for example, not taking, and then it goes into ayahuasca and hallucinogenic plant medicines that are out there and that sort of thing. These all are centered around our quote-unquote brains, because, and this is how the star beings communicate with me, is by tapping into certain pathways within the brain. They say that we don't use the full capacity of our brain, that the more in touch with the other world that you are, is when you start to open up other pathways and you're using more of your brain power. And one of the ways, a very powerful way, in fact, of being able to tap into these kind of energies is to visualize and imagine your brain as a tiny, tiny, as sitting there. So you close your eyes. You go through your process of pulling in the light from the universe and so forth, and you send out white light to protect you. You ask your guides to be there with you, et cetera, et cetera. For me, I do my prayer. And then I go straight to my brain, and I imagine that in my brain is a really tiny little spark. And this spark is actually where everything comes from. And with that spark, there are tentacles that reach out like electricity that light pathways to different parts of my brain. And just imagine that that light is becoming brighter and brighter and brighter and reaching further and further and further into your brain and creating the pathways to the divine light, to God, to the source of all things. So you don't want the pathways to reach to nothingness and to nowhere. You want it to reach to the divine light, to God, to source, to the creator. Because if you don't give it a direction, it will go wherever it's led, and it could get lost in the maze of other things. So again, it's about being clear. So the divine brain has the ability to work with the physical body to be able to help to strengthen the energy that flows through it, and the skin, the bones, the muscles, the blood. And imagine that that's a whole, let's call it a layer of energy and molecules, those bright white molecules that are glistening and glowing everywhere. Then we have, as Angela said, the energetic, the emotional body, that you can use that as another one, the emotional body. You can do it as the mental part of the brain that helps to regulate everything in the body. And imagine yourself connecting with all of that. The more, quote, imagination you can use, the greater you can be. And I remember once when I spoke with my father, because he was also psychic, and I remember the first time I ever told him about my experiences and what was happening. And I was telling him about some of the some of the things that were happening to me back in 89, 90, 91, that time period. And he asked me a question. He said, "So can you read people's minds?" I said, "Well, I've done that. Can you do this?" "Yeah, I can do that." "Can you do the psychometry? Can you pick up on objects?" "Yes." Can you remote view?" "Yes." "Can you do this?" And I can't do these things all the time. I still have to be clear myself in order to do all of these things. We all do. But he asked me a very specific question. He said, "When you close your eyes and you concentrate, can you fill the screen with a different color?" And what he was saying was, when you close your eyes and you're in a meditation, can you imagine that everything that you see in front of you is blue, and then change it to purple, and then change it to yellow, and change it to pink? Try doing that. It's almost impossible. It seems almost impossible. Because in order to do that, we have to have very focused, quote, thought from both our divine brain and our brain. And they can't conflict and they can't fight each other. Because what that means is that we are able to find the correct pathway and hold on to it. So, again, going back to everything that we talked about with energy and everything we talked about in the recognition of the signs and symbols that come to us, and then recognition of how to interact with them to say, "Thank you. I recognize that. I recognize I just had an answer. Thank you to my guides. Thank you to myself, my spirit, my soul," whatever it is that you're giving gratitude for. When we do that, we strengthen the pathways between the physical and the non-physical. We strengthen the pathways of the physical brain and the divine brain, which is the spiritual interaction, the God particles that run through us. And so all of these things become more clear and strengthened the more that we use them. It's like a soccer player. You can't become a pro soccer player by going out on the soccer field once. You have to keep doing it. And when you lose the ball and you're running down the path, you're going to lose it. And then next time you realize, "Oh, I lost it because I was too far to the left, or I was too far to the right. I need to do this. I need to do that." It's about stumble, fall, pick up, start again, and keep confirming the pathways. Keep confirming the pathways in your brain. Keep confirming that spirit is with you. Keep confirming that you are with spirit and that you give the gratitude back out. The spiritual tools that people look for are really as simple as that. And don't let anyone fool you. You are the master of your body. You are the master of your mind. No one can change that. You determine what it is that you think and feel. You. It is not the projections of other onto you. It is you. There was a person in my life recently, about 2 years ago, and I opened the doorway to them as a friend. Okay? And talking about spiritual tools of and understanding how we can support this, we're talking about energy a lot. Oh, how do we take the energy and move it and shift it and become alchemists and create and manifest and suppress and look into the future? That's all about the magic. Let's talk about the magic. But bring it into the everyday life. And all of those analogies that we talked about are also present in physical reality. So what I put out, I receive. And this person had come into my life that was exceptionally aggressive. And I didn't realize it. And during this whole friendship, I thought, "Oh, there's something not right here. There's something not right." And at the end of this friendship that had taken place, they did something very destructive towards me. And then they were very passive aggressive about it. I mean, exceptionally passive aggressive. And then they tried to spin things. And then when I stopped engaging with them, and this is a key, when I stopped engaging with them, they became outraged. I mean, absolutely outraged. And they were screaming and yelling, and I don't even know. I was on a telephone call. And so I stopped engaging, and I said to the individual, "I'm very sorry that you feel that way. I'm very sorry if I hurt you. I apologize, truly." And I said it without, honestly, without any anger, without any resentment, without anything. It wasn't without emotion, for sure, but it was, wow, I have a choice in this moment. I can continue to support this energy and engage with this back and forth flow, or I can choose to say, I'm very sorry that I've hurt you, but, you know, this is something that I, you know, there's no discussion. I'm sorry that you feel the way that you do, and it's unfortunate. I can't justify what that person's doing or feeling or thinking. And I think that when we talk about being spiritual and we talk about energy, we're really trying to get to the heart of situations like this, the things that are difficult. If they weren't difficult, we wouldn't be seeking answers to them. Why is my life difficult? Why is it easy? Why? Because whatever we put our attention on is what we receive. And we need to be reminded of that spiritually. So I make myself almost very vulnerable in the public by sharing deeply personal situations and keeping it real, because that's my motto. This is real. This is not something that's made up. It's not perfect. It is not so beautiful that we just live in bliss. This is reality. This is the life that we have. It is mixed with all of the wonders of the universe that we have access to. It is mixed with the difficulties of being in a human body. It is challenged by our emotional state, by our physical state, by our financial state, because of the world that we live in. But it is a beautiful existence in all of its forms. And we have an opportunity to be the observer, or to be the participant, or to be both. And remember that whatever we put our attention on grows. So if everyone listening to this does one thing, and that is to just simply observe and then give gratitude to the spirit world, then everything in your spiritual reality will begin to build and grow, and the connections will become stronger all the time. So wrapping this up to close in the next few minutes here, we have about 12 minutes left. That's what is the most benefit to all human beings, is to seek and know the Creator and the creation. And keep that in your focus and thoughts, because it's all within us. It is not helpful, in my opinion. It is not helpful when we go outside of ourselves to ask others, who was I in another life? What is my purpose in life? What am I supposed to be doing? We must find the crucial answers that we seek can only ever be found within ourselves. Because if we go outside of ourselves to ask someone the most crucial questions for our personal lives, and then for our interconnected soul aspect of life and who and what we are, then in the three aspects of our brain, the one that says, yeah, that's not true. Yeah, it's not. You know what? That's a lie, and you're never going to believe it. Nope. Because the next time you go into a meditation and you get the same answer that someone told you, let's just say that you were a chief in a tribe in another life, in a specific tribe, and someone comes and tells you that, then the next time you go into a meditation and you say, who was I in another life, in this other life, and it comes to you and it says, in this meditation and in this prayer and in this thought, oh, you were a chief in another life, then all of a sudden what happens is you have now created almost a paradox for yourself. You can never get to the middle part of the divine self and the divine brain, because now you will constantly fight that until probably your next life. Possibly. Now, I'm not saying always, but I'm saying it's so hard, because you will always doubt that this is the truth. Because the two parts of the brain will say, oh, yeah, that's the truth. Yep, that's the truth. Yep. And the other part will say, oh, come on. You got that from your subconscious, from this other person, and that's not really the truth. That's not really the truth. So be careful where you are receiving your innermost dialogue from, because receiving it from exterior will keep you from finding your true self. And your true self has access to everything that exists. If you want to know what a politician is doing behind a closed door, if you can build and grow yourself spiritually strong enough, you can travel there and have a look. If you want to know anything that happens with different people, different friends, family, relationships, you can go there. There is what I call universal law, and I think that we'll talk about universal law the last 10 minutes here. Universal law is something that you need to understand in working with spiritual energy, because universal law is exceptionally powerful. For example, I was sitting in a bar, a little outside bar in Puerto Rico when I was about 25 years old, and I was having a drink. And I was friends with a number of the people that worked in this hotel and bar, and it was a great little spot. And this woman came and sat down beside me. And I noticed, I could feel that she was trying to read me. And I put up an energy block, and I didn't let her look at me. And she asked me who I was, and we started a conversation that was fine. And I saw her over the course of 3 days, and every day she did this. And on the third day, that she did this, she said, her friend, okay, her friend, she got up, this woman got up, and she went to use the restroom. And the bartender and the other woman said, oh my God, Miriam, do you know what you're doing with that woman? I said, yes, because she said to me, why are you not letting me look? She actually said that to me, why are you not letting me look inside you? I said, why would I? You were invading my privacy. You never asked if you could look. How dare you? She said, do you have any idea who I am? And I looked right back at her and I said, do you have any idea who I am? And she was very upset. She left, and the bartender and the other person said, this is one of the highest priestesses of the entire Caribbean for whatever the belief system was. You can't do that to her. You can't talk to her like that. And I said, she has no right to look. This is universal law. You cannot play with other people like this. This is not a game. It's not a game. So she got up and she left. So then that night, she tried to approach me from another direction. She came to me in dream. And I looked at her in the dream and I said to her, I've already told you once that you had no right to look into my life and who I am and what I am without being respectful and asking. Even if it's in spirit, you can still do it in spirit and ask. That's the humility, and that's the, looking at something from your spiritual heart. Is it moral? Is it morally correct that you do that? Is there a purpose and a reason? Because if there's not, then you're talking about messing around with universal law, and there's consequences to that. There is divine order in the universe and the existence. So you can't just ask for something to be selfish. She was trying to look into me to be selfish for her own personal gain and power and ego And I stopped her. And in the dream world, I said to her, you are not allowed to do this. If you continue or if you come back at me again, I will have you stripped. I will report. It's like saying, I will report this and you will have all of your gifts taken away from you. Because that means all of a sudden that the gifts that you have that you are manipulating. And some people say, well, there's a lot of people that do that. Yes, but nobody reports them. Nobody says, enough, you need to stop. And you need to be careful with that also, because if they're more powerful than you, that could have bad consequence. So instead of confronting them and saying stop, you can just simply back away and say no, thank you. So universal law is a divine cosmic, way in which the universe itself exists. And there is cause and effect. Everything is within balance. So whatever you do, you're going to receive. Whatever you send out is going to come back. But if you start to abuse the power of whatever it is that you're doing or thinking or feeling and trying to manipulate people, then there's a consequence to that as well. Some people will have their gifts taken away, so all of a sudden they've been very, very psychic, and all of a sudden those psychic abilities will be taken from them because they're abusing the power. And again, it's a little bit complicated as far as why some people can get away with that and others can't. And it does have to do with who's reporting, who's part of the system, who's standing up against them. And this is why, quote, light workers are so important in the world. This is why our job is to just bring these positive energies in and share them with the world, share with the connection of the people around the planet, share the positive light with the people that need to wake up. Don't send them anger. Don't put them in boxes. Don't send them aggression, but send them enlightenment, send them love, send them the light bubbles, and say, if there is any part of that individual or group that is willing to accept the positive light, that here it is, I share this with you. Because they may be in the center of a bubble of darkness that they can't find their way out of. But if all of a sudden the light comes to them and stands right beside them, they will be happy to pick up that bubble of molecule of light to bring it into themselves. And as we do this, we shift the energy from being dark to light. So in coming to the very end of the program today, remember that everything has a consequence, and use these tools with the understanding that this is not a game, that it is very serious, and that spiritual and being spiritual is about being and learning responsibility for our actions, our thoughts, our imaginations, our mind, body, spirit, soul, for the universe, for the earth, for the earth that we stand on, and for everything that exists around it. And this is how we can all move forward, moving from these very challenging times that we all live in. So I really do hope that everyone enjoyed the program, and I very much look forward to sharing much more in the future. And thank you again, Loren, and thank you everyone who participated and who will be listening to this after the program. I'd like to close by asking everyone to just take a moment and close your eyes very quickly and just bring in the breath of light from all directions, and then share it back out with the rest of the world with gratitude, 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 and sharing the love and respect and honor for our lives, for the existence, for the earth, for the creator, for our guides, protectors, healers, and everything that exists. And just with gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. Thank you very much for this opportunity to be here. And a question everyone may ask is, why do I say things three times? And that is because we are mind, body, and spirit. And that's very much the three areas that you're talking to. The soul is a part of all of those. So, Loren?
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Miriam. This was really informative and packed with information and definitely worthy of listening to again. And before we say goodbye, we do have a few more minutes we can go over.
Sure.
I want to make sure that Tom did have his hand raised. So, mm-hmm. Tom, if you still have a question, hit star 2 and we can chat with you. And there is a question from Mary who says, thank you so much for sharing your experiences, Miriam. So much resonance. Today, I read your book in one go. Appreciate your sincerity. It brought me an inner tranquility, and I would love to hear more about your experience with spirals. I'm an artist, and for the last couple of years, very inspired by spirals. My art is meant exactly to send out this message of signs and symbols, and even have the eagles here hovering over my house. You taught me in this seminar to have confidence.
Oh, my goodness. Beautiful, Mary. Thank you so much for sharing. I really appreciate that, the comments. The spirals, and my book is a very easy read, intended to be so, and straight from my own heart in sharing the challenges that I've had along my path as well, to sort of demonstrate that anyone can work towards having more of an understanding of their lives. So the spirals were very much an important moment for me. And rather than talk about what the meaning of the spiral was, in fact, the spiral in reference to my book was meeting different people that when I looked into their eyes, I saw spirals. And what happened was, it was not necessarily the spiral itself that was the most important part of that experience that I had. It was the fact that seeing that spiral, the effect of that was deeply moving to me emotionally. And then it caused me and pushed me to sort of go onto the internet and try to figure out what the spiral meant in terms of indigenous belief and in terms of what that symbol may mean to other people. And by doing so, as I went down the rabbit hole, that was when I had the realization that everything that had been shared with me in relation to the four different worlds that we lived in, the first, the second, the third, and the fourth that we're in now, moving into the fifth. We've been moving towards the fifth now for a few years. That in saying this, that when I got to the end of the information, I realized that all of the information that the extraterrestrials had shared with me was identical. So it was not the meaning of the spiral, but it was what the spiral woke up in me emotionally. And the spiral for me personally means just movement through any kind of energy, spiraling, you know, the energy down into the earth from above and then from the earth through the top of my head. I think that that's what the spiral means. It's like the DNA, the energy that's moving through everything that exists. There's a spiral in everything. Almost in everything that exists, there's spiraling that's happening. Was there another question or statement, Loren? Just waiting for her to come back on.
Yeah, thank you. It took me a moment to unmute myself. Well, thank you for that explanation and working with the universal laws. This has just been exquisite, and we really look forward to you coming back and doing more of this sharing of this great wisdom. Comments coming in. Barbara says this has been a beautiful experience. Thank you so much, Miriam and Loren. And Suzanne says, very interesting explanation of why we shouldn't go outside ourselves and ask others for info about our past lives, etc., because of the doubt we will create by doing this. And be careful where you are getting your innermost information and dialogue from. Yes, this is sage advice from Miriam using universal law. Very powerful. And her story and the points she is making about abusing power, etc. She sure stands her power, doesn't she? Yes, you do, Miriam.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. This for me was the first teleconference online that I've done. And it's been a wonderful experience. And I could really feel the group of people that was, listening in. And I'm very grateful to have had you here as a support to me as well. So I thank you very much. It's very, very mutual. So I hope to see you again. And I hope that we can do more of these as time unfolds.
Yes, and one last comment from Tom that I'd like to share. He says, by the way, Miriam, to one of your points, there are many trainers and instructors out there. However, you reach at least myself where I am at my speed, and this is what defines a true teacher. Beautiful.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you very, very much, all of you. And I hope that all of you will come to the next program. Maybe we can make this into some type of a series where we continue to build on each aspect, because there is so much to share, and I've been bursting at the seams for a few years now. Wanting to share more, wanting to go deeper, and as someone mentioned yesterday, I believe it was, that it could be made into a book. So maybe this is the first step towards this information being shared in a very clear and defined way for more people to enjoy. So thank you again, and we will meet in the dream world maybe and continue the conversation. Thank you again.
Oh, I definitely know that. Another quick question from Jimmy. Do you know how long the transition to the fifth world will last? How long is it due to take?
Oh, my goodness, Jimmy. Hello, Jimmy. Nice to hear from you. How long will it last? That is never clear. That is never determinable. Because the physical world and the spirit world is in constant state of change. And so whatever decisions we make changes the outcome of tomorrow. And this is why self-responsibility is so important. So the transition into the fifth world has been taking place. We have been moving towards it. We haven't quite reached the climax of that, but we are definitely moving towards that point. And when we transition into the fifth world, the length of time that we will be in it is not determined. And also to say that moving into the fifth world does not mean that we are going into light bodies and into another dimension. It means that we have more access to the dimensions, which is what we've been talking about. It's exactly this. So thank you.
Beautiful. Okay, well, thank you, everyone, for participating in this three-session series with Miriam Delicato. And again, stay in touch with us. If any questions come up, feel free to contact us. Miriam, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Any last comments as we say goodbye?
Just that I really do feel a lot of gratitude towards everyone in participating, and to stay strong and remember that along the way there will be challenges, and if we stay together in our collective thoughts and minds, that we will overcome the challenges of today, and remind ourselves and each other of this beauty and light, and we will continue to grow and learn together as individuals and as the collective. And so we thank the Creator, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Beautiful. And confirmation, out my window, a golden hawk flew by in those parting words. Beautiful. Oh. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Blessing.
Wow.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, too, for listening and sharing in this space today. We leave you now with music from the universe, literally sacred geometry of music, as musical notes were assigned to mathematical equations. The result is this beautiful music, available at acoustichealth.com.